I think our culture is family, do what's right, even if it's an unpopular thing. If there's a safety incident, be tough-minded, stop the job. If you feel like something is going, leadership will never not support that. Ethics, integrity, all that is very valued from everyone in the organization.
You're listening to the Building Better Futures podcast, where innovation meets inspiration. In each episode, host Eric Hirani journeys alongside notable thought leaders who are shaping the future, cultivating exceptional work cultures, and nurturing the next generation of trailblazers. We aim to spark inspiration by engaging in dialogue with leaders from groundbreaking companies, innovative projects, and exceptional teams. Our goal is to empower individuals to positively impact those around them and leave a lasting legacy of positive change in our communities and society at large. Let's dive in together and explore what it takes to build better futures, one conversation at a time.
Hello, everybody. Today, we're here with Brennan Gilbane-Koch, Vice President and Director of Business Development for Gilbane in New York City. And something unique I don't get to say very often, a fifth generation family member. So we're definitely going to dive into that. I'm really excited for that conversation. But before we do that, Brennan, just tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, where you grew up, where you went to school. Something, tell me about Gilbane and your role there.
Great. Thanks, Eric. I am very excited to be here today. It's my first time ever doing a podcast, which is funny because if you ask people that know me, they would say I have a tendency, I love to talk and talk with people. So it's amazing I've gone this far without one. So I appreciate you thinking of me and having. So who am I? So I am Brennan Gilbane and Koch, as you mentioned, and I grew up in Barrington, Rhode Island. As a kid, I'm one of five. I have three brothers and a sister, and my dad worked and my mom stayed home. And she lived in her car driving five kids. We all went to different schools, which I thought was really cool based on what we each needed. And if you had asked my 12-year-old self what the future of Brennan was and what I would be doing at age 45, I would have said, I'm going to have five kids and live in Barrington, Rhode Island and not work. And the opposite could not be true today. I have two children. I live in New York City and I work a lot and I love to work. So the exact opposite of what happened. So how did I get here? So I grew up in Barrington. I went to a small private school, played sports growing up. And then I was lucky enough to get into Brown University. I went to Brown. I studied American civilization. I look at my kids today and I think they think so much about what they're going to study and what they want to be. I did not have that. My 17-year-old self did not have enough self-reflection to really think about that. But I love America. I love learning about people and why people do things. So American civilization made sense to me. I actually met my husband at Brown. And from Brown, I went on, when I graduated, I ended up getting a teaching job, which happened last minute. I didn't have a job and I always connected with kids and loved the concept of teaching. And so I was offered this job and I took it and I loved it. I can remember the first day of teaching, I walked in and I had like very uncomfortable shoes on. And it just shows you how little I knew about teachers because I didn't sit down the whole day. And by the end of the day, I couldn't even walk because my shoes were in so much pain. But I taught, ended up getting my master's in education because I thought that was really what my life's mission was going to be, is to teach. And I loved it. I did it for 6 years. It was a wonderful experience. I felt like I got to make a difference and really learned the art of communication and how you teach people and get people to do what you need them to do. A lot of it's all about delivery. And so I really learned a lot that I use today in that teaching. But fast forward, I had my daughter Grace. And at the time I was like, oh, I'm going to do this track. I'm going to stay home and raise my five kids. Here's the first of my five kids. And that I was home for maybe 3 years, had another child and really realized that was not the reality of what I wanted to do with myself. And I ended up getting to Gilbane, and we can talk about that in a bit about what I started doing, but moved to New York and was working at Gilbane in New York.
Amazing. And I did not know that about your teaching background. And it's funny, I'm reading a book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by Jonathan Maxwell, and I really enjoy it. But one of the sections I recently read, he actually talks about how a good leader is spending about 90% of their time teaching, right? They're teaching their team values and how to be leaders themselves. And so another excerpt in it I really is like, good leaders have followers, great leaders create leaders. And so it's just, I know a lot of that, like teaching is a lot about that, right? You want your students to succeed and be better versions of themselves than they were when they started with you. So
yeah. And I look back in the classroom and like now, you know, you look at and work the different generations and we're all motivated differently and how you get people to do. And I think of a classroom of 20 fourth graders, how different they all were. Yet I was able to get them to all walk down in a row or do this assignment or understand this about math. So it is amazing what I learned and was able to do is very relevant to what I do today.
You left off there with, so you joined Gilbane. Tell us a little bit about Gilbane. What does Gilbane do? What do you do there?
So Gilbane is a construction and real estate company. It was founded in 1870 by my great grandfather. I think I did that. So I'm fifth generation. They came over from Ireland during the potato famine. It was not a great place to be living. There was no work. There was no money. So they got on a boat and came over and landed in Rhode Island and Massachusetts area. And they couldn't get a job. And so they ended up, William Gilbane was the ancestor that came over, decided to be a carpenter and fix things up. And that's what he could do. So by happenstance and luck, he was able to grow this thing. And then the second generation took it a little bit farther and started building homes for themselves. And then the third generation and every kind of generation. And so right now we do about $7 billion worth of construction work. And all types of development deals from student housing to affordable housing, which is probably one of the things I'm most excited about and kind of everything in between as a development company.
Cool. We try to highlight two major concepts on the show, and that's the building better futures in our communities. And so we're going to talk about that. You just mentioned student housing. I know that's impactful. You just mentioned affordable housing. I think across the board, I know definitely here in New York, we have challenges with that and we need to figure out ways to address them. And then we also talk about building better futures for the next generation of leaders in our industry. And I know you'll have a very unique insight into that concept because in your sense, the next generation of leaders are also family, right? You almost know who they are. So that's pretty cool. But I want to start with the focus on the building and community. So tell us about some cool projects you're working on. How are they impacting the community? What are you most excited about? I know I saw a similar statement on the Gilbane website in the economic inclusion, how much you guys value that you're able to make a positive impact in your communities that you're building in. So tell us, any cool projects you're excited about?
Yeah, I think the key to Gilbane's success, why we're still, everyone knows always like 154 years. First of all, you have family and you have construction. There's a lot of things going against you, like how have we made it? And I think the key to the building company's success is really, we've always been a very diverse company. We build a lot of different things. You know, we don't specialize in one particular market. And I think that if you ask, like, why is that? I think it's because we really want to build communities. And like, when you look at, we were a Rhode Island builder forever. We built Rhode Island. That was where we came from. And we build the schools, we build the hospitals, we build for the Army in Newport. We did everything in that community. That mindset as we grew to different offices was the same. If we're going to open an office, we're going to build a community and be able to build all types of projects with that. And for me, what are like the most exciting projects we're building? Let's start like with maybe we helped with a project, which actually came from Brown alumni. Kari has an organization up in Harlem called Brotherhood Sister Soul. And they were in a townhouse that I promise you, when you walked up to it, you were like, it tilted. Like it wasn't even straight. And when this is a place that the kids in the community go after school, they have an unbelievable statistic around kids that go to college, the pregnancy rate, which is really high in that community. Kids that go to his center are the opposite of what the statistic says. So he's doing just tremendous things in this organization. So that, to me, for us to be able to play a role to get them a new building is really something that I'm proud of, which is really important to the community. We also do a lot of healthcare. And so because we do healthcare, this, when COVID happened, obviously it was like a crazy time in New York City. And we got calls and people didn't even know, clients didn't even know what they were calling to do, but they knew they needed to do something. And we got a call from DDC who asked us to do the COVID Center of Excellence. And basically what those were was the hospitals were taking care of everyone sick, but they knew when people got out that they weren't healthy necessarily, that they needed follow-up care and all that. And so we were able to put a handful of these COVID centers in neighborhoods so that the patients that were lucky enough at the time to survive had a place to go. And the cool thing about that, when you talk about building communities, is I remember when we kicked those projects off, it was just buy local, spend money. It was all about local. Typically, if you were needed brooms, for example, just go on Amazon and they come tomorrow. We would go to the local hardware store that was 3 blocks away and buy everything from him. So it was really, aside from being able to help people who were sick with COVID, it also was an economic engine for putting New Yorkers to work and keeping businesses that were really struggling to help benefit from those projects. So that's a healthcare one that I think is really special. And then nationwide, aside from New York City, even though I love to say the Gilbane Resolves around New York City, they tell me that's not true. I guess it's not, because we have a great project for Cytiva. And so links actually to COVID, which made me think of it. And so when COVID happened, there's all the supply chain and what we manufactured in America and what we had to get overseas. I think all that came to light. And one of the things was the liquid, and I'm not a pharmacist or a scientist to be able to say exactly what it is, but the liquid that a vaccine goes in the shot, we didn't manufacture that in America. So Cytiva, we're helping build the plant so that from now on, vaccines that we can handle it all. So I think that's a pretty cool job that we get to work on. And then if there are any Buffalo Bills fans, we're doing the stadium. That's an equally important part of community, getting sports fans to enjoy there. So yeah, and then I think the affordable housing is so important to the communities, and in particular New York City, though we do it everywhere. It's a big market for us. It's we're working with our development company. So the development company is the developer for the city on a handful of upcoming affordable housing projects that we'll get to build and give New Yorkers who deserve a beautiful place to call home, a great place to go at night, and one that they can afford and stay here and keep our city full of great workers that we need.
That's awesome. And you mentioned COVID, and it reminds me again, and I feel like every time I talk to someone, I remember something else I love or I really appreciate about our industry. And that's one of those things where we had a problem and our industry was called upon, right? We worked on emergency jobs. You said it perfectly. Clients called and they're like, we don't even know what to do, but we know that you are the people we should call because we can trust you and you've delivered for us before. And so it's important that we get that message out there, right? How important the design, engineering, construction, architecture, construction management services we provide really are to the city, right? Giving people a place to live, giving people a place to seek healthcare, to learn, right? The schools and everything we build. I appreciate you bringing that up.
And I also think it was like, to me, such a testament of we are mission-driven industry, and people were running into the fire during COVID. Just how can I help? What can I do? Which is really a special thing to look back on. It's such an awful time, but you see the positive glimmers of positivity in that time. I think that's definitely one of them.
Yeah, the human nature of it. And then I wanted to touch on something I thought was really cool. I was trying to do some research, and I think you guys worked on the National Women's Hall of Fame, right? Yes. In Seneca. And I hadn't heard of that before. And then I read about like the people I know Susan B. Anthony's in there and Amelia Earhart and some of the incredible names I was going through. And I was like, I need to visit this place one day. And I know diversity is near and dear to your heart, and I'm sure like that, I think dollar-wise, it might not have been a huge project for you guys. There's probably meaningful in many other ways.
The Women Hall of Fame, and that's like the great thing about being a national company, right, is we don't just work in New York City or whatever, but I had the same, like Seneca Falls, like all the incredible women are like, and it was, I got to go to one of the inductions one year, and your head is like just turning like with these unbelievable women that deserve to be celebrated. And it's beautiful. Actually, that's the first time I met Governor Hochul. She came to that. And I remember it very vividly, the groundbreaking of that new building. And she was there, however, I forget how many years ago. Maybe it was 12 years ago, 10. Because my girls were young. I do remember that. And I brought them.
But it was, yeah, no, I was glad to read about it and just see it. And so let's turn to that. Let's talk a little bit about diversity, because I know advocate for it. I know you sit on a number of boards across the industry here, but Gilbane's also an advocate, right? I think there's a multi-billion dollar commitment to diverse and small businesses. And so tell us a little bit about that. What do you do personally that helps those initiatives? What are you doing here in New York City? What are maybe even some of the national initiatives that are being taken under?
So look, I think for us, like our mindset is that it's very easy to pick the same companies to work with project after project. And it is easier, right? It's easier. But our mentality is that opening the doors, Gilbane, people took a chance on at some point, and we were not what we are today. And so we are really committed to helping grow companies. And our approach to that is not just to give them opportunities, but we run a rising contractor program. And because what we found was that, okay, we could say we want to give people opportunity to work for Gilbane and all of that. But it was missing that without that personal connection and the mentor and the local person. So like you could say, go and do all this. But so what we do is we do this rising contractor program that people apply to. And then they go through like a 2-month, 3-month program. And each week is a class taught by people at Gilbane about how to do work. But through that process, you also get a mentor. And so you have someone that is here physically hearing what's happening to call and say, look, I wasn't successful in that. Can I get feedback? And to really build a relationship with for long-term success, because it's not a one and done. It does take time and growth doesn't happen overnight. And so work with companies to say, here's this, which could grow into this and this, and here's a long-term plan for us to grow the partnership. So I said, how do we do it? Our approach is, it comes from all levels within our organization, and it's prioritized, it's talked about, it's recognized. It's a really positive thing if you want to grow your career at Gilbane to get behind this and get involved in our diversity outreach efforts. And then supporting these firms, I do think we get firms that are very interested in working with Gilbane because we have a strong brand here. And so how do we get the interest that people find good matches, and then coach and mentor them along the way is really our approach.
I applaud that effort. And while we're still a small company, that jump from micro, when it was just me, to 10 to 15 to 50 is only possible because people opened the door and allowed us to work on their projects, and they trusted us, and they helped us, and they guided us. So I think what you're all doing is amazing. And I really wanted to touch on this for that reason. And I think it speaks true to values and culture. And so tell us, let's talk about that. What are some values or cultures you guys try to emanate and work through, even your internal employees? We talked a little bit about external training, right, through this Rising Contractors program. What do you do internally for mentoring and coaching and things like that?
Yeah. So look, culture is like of the forefront of what we do. We have a really, people always say, describe the culture. And even though we say family culture, and that doesn't mean because we're family owned and my name is, it's a family owned business. It's a family culture because everyone comes to work with how you would show up in your own family, being caring, honest feedback, long-term relationships. It's not a one and done. For us, the family culture is very, we laugh and we say there's so many other families that are third generation working at Gilbane that it's not just ours, but taking, and I think what I try to do as a leader is slow down and take time to say, Brian, sitting next door to me, like, how are the kids? Did they win the lacrosse game? To really model that. And so people come to Gilbane that want to be part of that culture. If that is not for you, then we're probably the wrong place to work. Really highlighting what our culture is, not running from it. And it's funny, you asked about our core values. Two weeks ago, I was in Atlanta and my cousin Dan and I were asked to teach a class on a value, our core values in our history to 200 new employees that were recently hired at Gilbane in the last 6 months. And one of the questions was asked at the end, because we have 8 core values. We have a lot of core values. Every 10 years, something happens and add that to the wall. Add that to the wall. It's like an ongoing joke. And someone in the audience asked me, what if you had to add a core value, what would it be? And I was like, we're not adding. I'd be condensing, because I think we definitely have values at Gilbane and they are strong. But do the 8 words, is there a better way to say it so it doesn't get lost in translation, if you will, because there's so many of them. But I think our culture is family, do what's right, even if it's an unpopular thing. If there's a safety incident, be tough-minded, stop the job. If you feel like something is going, leadership will never not support that. Ethics, integrity, all that is very valued from everyone in the organization.
I think last time I was in the office, when you say add it to the wall, you guys actually have them listed there, right? Because I think I was waiting. I was probably earlier, and I was reading them, and I thought they were fantastic.
But we need the wall, though, Eric, because there's so many, no one can remember them. No, they're all great, and they're all good, and they all have a really strong story about why they're there, which I love, which was part of the class, is telling the history behind why each core value is there.
I think it's cool that you were able to participate in something like that. And I think it's amazing that the company is able to do something like that, right? You have to be big enough and you have to really value your culture and your values to do that. With 200 people, that's a lot of time, and time is money in your business, right? So obviously you made a real commitment there. And I think that's great.
And we hadn't done it for years and years. We hadn't done it. And I had this moment, we have a new CEO, Adam Jelen, and you have a strong culture as a company. When you sit there for 2 days and there's a handful of presenters and classes and everything, and I sit there and I'm like, all of this is authentic. There's nothing that we have, this is core to who we are. So it was awesome. It was great and something I'm so happy we're finally bringing that stuff back.
This is going to be the most exciting part for me, selfishly, but also I just think it's so exciting. You mentioned the culture is very family oriented. You mentioned you're 5th generation. And so my first question around that, because I'm going to steer this towards the family business concept, is you're 5th. Are there any 6th or 7th generation? Yeah. Like, how deep are we now?
Every 3 years we do a family gathering. And we're up again in this June. I think it's 219 people.
Wow.
And that's everyone from the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th will all be. 4 generations will be there. We do not have our first 8th yet, but 7th is growing rapidly. I think after COVID, everyone got married, and then in the last year and a half, everyone's happy. So we're growing rapidly. And luckily, the 4th generation is a really healthy, strong generation in there. Still going. Really big group of Gilbanes running around the world. And lucky here. So in New York City, my cousin John Anderson is the first 6th generation. Who, John?
Yeah, John's great.
And he's great. And he's doing wonderful things over at Metropolitan Hospital, leading a team there. And then the youngest 6th generation working at the company is my cousin Tommy Bannon, who's a superintendent at the community center in Brooklyn that we're building. Everyone, lots of family members in general, and about 20 of us actively working at the company everywhere, from fancy CEO titles to superintendent, project manager titles, and everything in between.
This episode is brought to you by Infinite Consulting Corp, your go-to firm for MBE certified project and construction management consulting. Discover how Infinite can help you build a better future at infiniteconsultingcorp.com.
I'm not in a family business, but my family is very industry related. And I
actually find that hard to believe, Eric, because I feel like every time we're together, there's someone from your family with
you. They typically are. And we love it. We love spending time together. I know you love spending time with your family too. And I think it helps with that authenticity, right? Because when you're connecting with family and then you're connecting with your team at work that also feels like family, you can be authentic with them. You're yourself. You actually care about them, their kids, like you were asking about. People that's in your office, how was lacrosse game this weekend? Or how was your vacation? How was your anniversary? Things that people may forget, but you remember because you actually care. But to go back to so I do some reading on family businesses. I hope to continue the values and the culture my dad has sent. And I have a daughter now, very young, 20 months. So it's going to be a long time before she takes over. But hopefully one day she will be able or capable and want to do that. So what's the secret? How do you get people not only interested, but really caring? Because I have been around the country and I've met some of the other Gilbanes at other offices, and they're just, all of them are just amazing leaders. And I'm in a room and I just feel, what's the word? I just feel the positivity, right? The leadership coming off of them. So what's your secret? Is there a secret there? Are you allowed to share it?
No, I can share it. I don't know if there is a secret, but everyone always, like, I really cannot believe I have the job and do what I do for Gilbane. That's not what my long-term, and everyone's always, but weren't you pressured to do this? And it wasn't. And we really, I think as Gilbane, like family business, when you're born, like I was saying this to my girls the other night, is like, you have this gift, right? Like you are so incredibly lucky to have been born into this family with this unbelievable company that is highly successful. And we are all stewards for a moment in time to then pass it on to the next generation. And so I think we're all born and talked to and not trained, that's not the right word, but socialized in a way that this is a gift that we are so special to have and that it's not ours to ruin, but to pass on. But it's just ours for a moment in time to give to the next generation. And so there's not this sense of like entitlement. I think it works out well because I hope that people say about us that we're pretty normal, humble people that feel so happy and proud and lucky that people choose to come and work at Gilbane and that clients choose to work with us.
You said that so perfectly, and I'm going to share that with my family. I think that stewards opportunity, I use the word blessed a lot. I feel very blessed to have the opportunities I have. And similarly, my dad was, he told us like, it's not a requirement, but be a good person and continue to do the right thing and be humble and stay proud, basically.
And have some fun.
Work hard and have fun. I
love it.
These are quotes. I'm going to rewatch this episode myself and write these things down because I'm going to put them on a poster or something. Perfect. So well stated. I think on that, I'm going to jump into the lightning round. I think that was great. Yeah, no pressure. It's going to be one word answers. Lightning round. I mentioned earlier a book I'm reading right now. I'm really enjoying it. Do you have a favorite book?
I love a quick read. I'm not going to lie. But one of the books that I don't know if it's favorite because it's a sad, heart-wrenching book. But that is a book that I often think about is called A Little Life. It's long. And I've recommended it to people. And a lot of people are like, I can't do it. But I would say A Little Life is my favorite book.
Very cool. All right. Next question. And I don't know if you do, but do you watch TV? And if you do, what's your favorite streaming show? Is it a Netflix or Hulu or Prime or some other? There's 50 of them now. So I don't know most of them.
Yeah. So I mostly watch an iPad and not a TV. But I stream everything. I just finished The Secret Lives of Mormons. I love reality TV. And you'll also catch me loving a Dateline. I love a Dateline. So I go everywhere from reality, whatever, to Dateline. And then third, even though this is supposed to be the lightning round, I'm also supposed to say one.
Oh, no.
We love Survivor as a family. And we do a fantasy Survivor League that my husband organizes with our kids and a bunch of other families. And we're in maybe our fifth or sixth season of doing that. And so I love Survivor too, because it like brings my family together.
I don't watch Survivor, but I had a meeting yesterday. I was talking to someone and they told me that Survivor and I think Big Brother or I think is another one. They were like, I don't watch any reality TV, but those two I watch religiously. I was like, okay, maybe I got to check it out. It seems
Survivor
to be
a cool 47th season.
What does Survivor does?
47th.
I did not realize that. That is a
unbelievable.
Lot. Jeff, they're doing something right. So my next question is basically the same, but it's what's your favorite show from before streaming? Like we're all consumed, but remember commercials and waiting a week for the next episode and having a season end and have a cliffhanger for a good.
Maybe I'll throw, maybe like 90210 as a kid.
That's my wife's. She loves 90210. And we found there's like this TV apps, like free channels or whatever. And she found one that's 90210 24 hours a day. So every once in a while, she'll just throw it on. Yeah, it'll just be on. All right. Last question. I had a theme of favorites here. Favorite band. Do you like music? I don't know. You know.
I'm embarrassed to say this. Oh, actually, I'm not embarrassed, but my kids and husband say I should be embarrassed to say this.
Now I can wait.
Channel in the car is Yacht Rock.
Okay.
So I love really calm, pretty music. If I get home and I'm like making dinner, I'll pour a glass of wine and I'll tell the Google Home to put on Carole King, James Taylor. I love Adele, that kind of music.
Why would you be embarrassed? Those are all-time great artists.
They say a 45-year-old should not be listening to Yacht Rock.
Hey, you do you. We're authentic people. We are going to be who we are. So we'll enjoy what we enjoy. And obviously lightning rounds for fun. Just get to know you a little bit better. But with that, I really want to thank you. This was awesome. Such an easy conversation to have. Thank you for the insights, especially on the family business. I really am going to take notes on that stuff. You guys have done an incredible job. It's very rare. And for those of you that aren't familiar with family businesses, second generation sometimes make it. Third generations rarely make it. Sixth, seventh generation is... I don't know how many other businesses there are that really have made it and in an active role, right? Family offices may still hold equity or a role or they might be part of it, but to have active leadership from that generation that's able to embody that same, the core values of what are entrepreneurial and business driven, the people who started, the founders of the business, to still have those values today, it's just, I really am in awe. With that, I thank you. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, thank you.
And that's it. I think.
No, thank you, Eric. It's so great to watch you. You're out such a dynamic leader in New York City and so creative and innovative. I love it.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Building Better Futures. The show notes include links to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.